You have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I just, I didn't really finish last week what I had started. And I just felt like there was more there that we ought to talk about. And then Bob just confirmed just a minute ago. He says, you know, what you were sharing last week was really good. Too bad you got cut short. And so I'm like, well, actually, I was thinking about going to part two today. So we're doing part two, Ephesians chapter 3. So this is the Apostle Paul, his prayer for the Ephesians, the Christians at Ephesus. So I think it's pretty simple deduction that we can make that if Paul the Apostle was praying for those folks, we have a good idea, A, what God wants to do in our midst today, kind of things we should be praying for even today. Praying for one another. We can pray this prayer for ourselves, and we can certainly pray for it for one another. And I want you to understand, it's more than just God help Sister Susie, you know, get some snow tires on her car. Her tires are bald. God cares about those things, okay? It's more than just help Brother Jim to find a job or, you know, help Sister so-and-so. She's not feeling well, you know, and those prayers are all, they're legitimate prayers, but Paul's prayers are so much grander, so much more significant. And actually, I think if we pray these prayers, all those little ones are going to be included in these kind of big, epic, big God idea type of prayers. Okay. And that's what Paul is praying for his friends in Ephesus. So let me start just by introduction and say this. What would be a worthy goal? What would be a real bullseye in our Christian life? Well, you know, God, I want to serve you. Or, Lord, I want our church to be full of servants, people that serve you with energy and vim and vigor. Is that a good goal? Yes, it's a great goal. But there's something even bigger and more significant than that. How about this one? Lord, I want to be holy, and I want the people of God to be holy. I want us to live set apart lives. Question, is that a good goal? You betcha. It's a great goal. But you know what? There's even something bigger and more significant than that. How about this one? I want people to love one another, to get along, people to love people, me and us included. That's a good thing. Good thing to pray for. But there's something even bigger and more significant than that. I want to start by reading, I'm going to read near the end of Paul's prayer, and I want you to see how epic, how important, how big Paul's request is. Actually, if answered, will bring an amazingly significant result. Look at the end, near the end of his prayer, verse 19. Says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Or another way to put it is that you would be totally filled up with God. Your life would be completely consumed by God. Another way to put it is you're going to be completely mature in Christ. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be more and more like Jesus. That's the size of this prayer. That's where it's headed. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So let me back up and start where Paul starts. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you, and then he mentions several things. Last week I mentioned this one, that you might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's basically all I got to those two ideas. Okay, that God, number one, would strengthen us. The fact that Paul is praying for his friends to be strengthened means that they do not have strength in themselves. This is not something we have resident in ourselves. We as human beings are frail and weak, even the best of us on our best day. Okay, we're frail and weak. We need to be strengthened. And it says to be strengthened with power. That word power is dunamis. Okay, that's the Greek word where you get the word dynamite. Okay, so God has dynamite power that he wants to strengthen us with. Okay, and that happens through the Holy Spirit, verse 16, and it happens in our inner being. We're not just talking physical strength, okay? We're talking spiritual strength in our inner being, in our hearts. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We talked just a little bit about what that meant. To dwell in our hearts means, yes, in one sense, Jesus lives in the heart of every Christian. You cannot be a Christian and the Holy Spirit not live inside of you. But there's a difference between having him in there and having him like be completely at home in there to do whatever he would like to do, right? It's one thing to own a home. It's another thing to live in the home, renovate the home, change all the colors of the room in the home, do anything you want to do in the home because you not only own it, you live there. And you want to like put your fingerprints on this home. That's how Jesus wants to be in us. Okay, he wants to like manifest his life through us. Okay, so those are two big ideas we prayed last time. So the third one today, this is a new idea. Okay, the next aspect of this prayer, and I'm going to pray before we go any further. So Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for this prayer that the apostle prayed for his friends. And Lord, we wanna pray this for one another today. God, that we at the end of it might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus, that we might be the people that you intend for us to be. The people of God. People, we wanna be like Jesus to the world around us. And so God, we just thank you. Our confidence today is not in our ability to get there, but our confidence is in your ability to answer our prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, new idea. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Next big idea here. God wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Love. Now, it's kind of broad. He doesn't say, and he'll get into more specifics about the love that he's talking about another verse or two later. But right here, it's kind of broad, just that we would be rooted and grounded in love. That would mean God's love for us. And our love maybe back to God, and maybe would include our love one for another, all this, and even our love for the world, okay? So it's kind of broad in that sense, but the point I want to make is that Paul uses two metaphors. One is like a plant rooted in love, okay? Roots are extremely important. If a plant or a tree is going to be healthy, it is only healthy outwardly because there's an actual healthy root system, okay? Oftentimes when I find myself praying for people, I'm often praying, God, please let their roots go down deeper into you, into your love, into who you are, into your plans and purposes for their life. Because only as the roots go down can that sustain healthy growth outwardly. You know, you remember the parable Jesus told about the different types of soil. The sower sows the seed. He sows the gospel seed. And the seed falls on all different kinds of soils. Hard rock path soil. The birds of the air come and pluck up that seed. The seed is the word of God. The second type of soil is a shallow soil. And so the seed goes into that shallow soil. It's a little bit soft, a little bit fertile,
put down below the ground. It's rock hard. And this is indicative of people's heart condition, okay? And Jesus said, they are those that receive the word with gladness, but then as soon as difficult time comes, back to his metaphor, as soon as the sun rises up and starts scorching that little plant, okay, all the growth on a little plant that is in shallow soil, instead of the roots going deep and the plant going up, it hits rock and can't go any deeper, so all the growth is outward, okay? Have you ever known anyone in their Christian life, everything was outward, and it was very little stuff below the surface? God doesn't want us to be like that. That's not a healthy plant, okay? It really is not. I've known people, maybe you've known people like that, and they take off like a rocket ship in God, but then as soon as the days get difficult, they kind of wither away. I don't know about you, but I've known people like that. And again, the problem is never the seed. The problem is always the heart, the human heart. That parable is really not so much about the seed. I know it's called the parable of the sower. It's really a parable of different heart conditions and how people respond to God's word and the message about Jesus Christ. So the point I'm making here is that God wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. So that the love is the for our root system, and it's also like a foundation of a building. Okay? This is very, very important. Okay, and we'll talk more. A big part of this prayer is about love, but I just want you to see that that's Paul's prayer, that we be rooted and grounded in love. Secondly, I'm just going to keep reading here. Be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, and the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is where we're going to park here for the rest of our time. These two verses. Okay? So now Paul is getting specific, and that is he wants us to understand the love of Christ. Okay? The love of Christ. What's the greatest thing that, like, if the goal is for you to love God and for me to love God, how could I inspire you to love God more? I could try to teach you the Bible, and I could teach you His commands. I could teach you what He expects from you, and He expects from us. I can talk about all kinds of stuff. You know, the best way that I can actually, like, awaken love in your heart for God is when I talk to you about how much He loves you. That's what awakens our hearts to love God back, when we understand how much He loves us. Okay? Very, very specific in this sense. This love, now it's interesting. He wants us, look at verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend. Let me back up just for a second. Remember last week we talked about strength, verse 16, that God would grant us to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. Now, what is the purpose of God's strength in our inner man? Is it to do miracles? Not according to this verse. Thank God for miracles. Thank God for praying for the sick. Thank God for the ability to preach and testify about who Jesus is. Thank God for strength to be able to help our fellow man and try to do good and help people in need and all those kind of things. But specifically, he says here, the reason we're strengthened in verse 16 is so that we might have strength to comprehend something. Okay? Strength to understand. But then the irony is, he says, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. So he's basically saying, I want you to understand what is not understandable. I want you to comprehend what is incomprehensible. I want you to fathom what is unfathomable. Okay? So in that sense, this prayer never gets fully answered, to be honest with you. Like, well, you can be praying this from now until the day you take your last breath or when Jesus comes back. It's one of those progressive prayers that you're never going to completely plumb the depths of this prayer. Okay? Because it is progressive in the sense of none of us are going to arrive until we see him face to face. Okay? He's asking us to understand that which is not understandable, okay? To comprehend his life. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this, okay? You are not smart enough. I am not smart enough to just... Now, I understand. We know the Son. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know a couple verses about God's love. God so loved the world. And I'm not dismissing the Bible, by the way. But my point is these truths from the Bible, these are things that Paul is praying that his friends would actually experience. He would actually, it would be more than just knowing the Bible verse. Paul said actually in Corinthians, he says, knowledge puffs up. So you can actually know some stuff, know even a lot of Bible verses. The Pharisees were extremely puffed up, and they knew a lot of the Bible. But as far as loving God or loving their fellow man, they felt woefully short, okay? And so this is something that happens in the heart of a Christian. Again, there's a supernatural element to this. There's a miraculous element to this, that we would actually comprehend that which is not comprehensible, and that is God's love for us in Jesus Christ, okay? That's what he's praying, okay? To comprehend that which cannot be comprehended, and that is God's love for us. And then he kind of gives this kind of four-dimensional, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but these four-dimensional love of God, the love of Christ, that we might know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. First of all, the breadth. The breadth is like left to right, okay? And the love of God is extremely broad. God loves people that you don't even like, okay? And you should be glad that he does, actually. the breath of his love will blow our mind. He loves all people from all nations, all ethnicities, all races, all income levels. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. I know we know the songs, the kids' songs, but God wants to make these things real in our heart, okay? To know the breadth of the love of Christ, the length of the love of Christ. Think binoculars, the length, like just as far down the road as you can see. Actually, if you look back too, as far back as you can see, as far ahead as you can see, Christ's love is there. You can't outrun it. You can't get away from it. I like the psalmist, Psalm 139. You're probably familiar with some of these verses. Psalm 139, the psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? So I want you to see, he's talking about the presence of God, but superimposing that idea, just the love of God, okay? Because God is love, okay? Where can I go, basically, from you? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. I love this. This is a cool idea. If I say, quote, surely the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. Think about that. God doesn't know what it is to be in a dark room. Okay? There's no area in the entire universe that it's dark to God. God knows everything. He sees everything with perfect clarity. He sees our lives. He sees our hearts. He sees everything, past, present, future. Okay? Oh, I wish I didn't lose my place there. It was like one more verse. It was so good. Okay. Surely the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. The point I'm making is the love of God knows no beginning and no end. And he wants us to know the length. Comprehend the uncomprehendable. And then the height of his love. Okay? It's vast, it's huge, it's strong, it's mind-blowing. And lastly, even the depth of the love of Christ. There's no place too low. There's no place you can be, even in sin, okay, even in rebellion, even in hard-heartedness that is beyond the reach of the love of Jesus Christ. Okay, there's no way to plumb the depths of his love. Okay? You cannot do it. I like what Matthew Henry said, a couple things. He said, some describe the particulars about the love of Christ like this. By breadth of it, we may understand the extent of it to all ages, nations, and ranks of men. By the length of it, its continuance from everlasting to everlasting. By the depth of it, its stooping to the lowest condition with a design to relieve and save those who have sunk into the depths of sin and misery. By its height, its entitling and raising us up to the heavenly happiness and glory. I want to read one other verse for you. The Apostle Paul said this about the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8. He says, I'm just going to read this part. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now understand, the Apostle Paul, it's easy for me to say this. He suffered more than any of us in this room for the cause of Jesus Christ. He really did. No doubt about it. Now, I'm not saying he maybe suffered more than you. You have maybe suffered in some horrible ways, and maybe I have too, but I don't think any of us have suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ anywhere near the degree of Paul. Okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. You know, sometimes as a Christian, it looks like you're losing. a sheep about to be slaughtered is not a good day for the sheep, okay? It looks like you're losing. But no, Paul says, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my friend, if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that's the one you're trusting today. That's the one you're connected to today. Your Savior is strong. He is mine. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if it looks like you're losing. I don't care if it feels like life's falling apart. Nothing can separate you from his love. Divorce, death itself for the believer can't separate you from his love. Death itself. That is mind-blowing. God wants our roots to go down into that. Okay, this is the kind of stuff that we need to like meditate on and think about deeply. And that's why we sing about the cross and the love of God so often, because this is critical for us to be all that God has for us to be. We must have this ongoing revelation, understanding of the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. Okay? Amen? All right. So we are grounded and we're rooted in this love. We are understanding at some level, again, this is ongoing, the love of Christ, the love that Jesus has for us. Lastly, and I made this point a little bit last week, and that is this does happen in community. It says here, with all the saints. Okay, with all the saints. Verse 18, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's critically important that you and I be connected, actually, to other Christians. This happens in community. So two ways it happens in community. Number one is when, as a Christian, like my brothers and sisters in Christ love on me, God can use that in a great way, just to turn the lights on in my heart just a little bit more. Wow, God really does love me. These people are being really sweet to me. They're being kind to me. They're treating me with respect and love. And God can use that kind of body ministry to really help people. Okay? Because we as human beings, this is the dirt we're supposed to grow up in as human beings. This is the soil we all need as human beings. No one can ever say, well, I don't need that love stuff. I'm pretty good. No, you're a human being. You need to be grounded and founded and rooted in love. You just do. I don't care how big and tough you are. You really do. Okay? We all do. We all do. So that's the one way that God can use the saints, in a sense, to help us to grow in an understanding of the love of God. But here's the other way. And that is like the opposite side of this coin. And that is when the saints fall short of loving us as well as they maybe are called to love us, then we actually have an opportunity to love like Jesus loves. Okay? And this is why our roots need to go, you know, vertically. They need to go down in God. Not just, I want you to be connected to other people. Don't get me wrong. Okay, that is part of being part of the body of Christ. We are, as the body, connected one to another. But we're also primarily connected to the head. You know, we're connected to Jesus himself through the new birth, through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so sometimes in the Christian life, Christians, I'm sorry to break this to you, but Christians are going to let you down. Okay? Your pastor might let you down. Okay? Maybe might is too kind of the pastor. Give it enough time. He'll probably let you down too. Okay? Seriously. We're all frail. We don't do this perfectly. But the beautiful thing is when we are connected to the body of Christ, that's a beautiful opportunity to grow in the love of Jesus. Okay? Just a couple verses here. Matthew 5. Again, the body of Christ at times will not love us perfectly, will let us down at times. But that is a beautiful opportunity for us to grow when we show unconditional love to others. Here's what Jesus said. Verse 43, Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Notice Jesus is appealing to us, like showing love to people, not just to the measure that they've showed to us, You know, the golden rule, by the way, is good. But the golden rule is for me to be instructed on how I should treat other people. When people aren't golden ruling me, I can't use the golden rule to say, hey, you treated me like dirt, I'm going to treat you back like dirt. That's not the golden rule, by the way. Okay, the golden rule is for me toward other people. It's not to measure how other people are treating me. All right, back to our verse here. That you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Sends rain on the just and the unjust. Listen, God, this is called common grace. God is good to people that could care less about him. They don't love him. They don't honor him. They don't worship him. They're miserable. They don't even care about their creator. But God is still kind to them every day. The sun shines, the rains come, they water the crops, and God is good even to people that are not good to him. And that's what God calls us to be. Indiscriminate in our love for people. We can't have a good list and a bad list. Okay? We cannot. If you love those, this is so succinct. If Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? I mean, do not even tax collectors do the same? Basically, sinful people that have never been impacted by the new birth, they like their friends. It's easy to love your friends. Anybody can do that. That is not hard. There's nothing divine about that. It's simple. Happens all the time. But if you greet only your brothers, what more do you do? Are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So perfection isn't like perfection. Perfection is like mature, complete. That's what God is calling us to. Again, this command is above our pay grade. We can't do this in our own strength.
That's right.
Many things that are commanded in Scripture are stuff we can't do in our own strength. God knows that, but that's the standard. But he says, you know what, Mike? I'll help you do that. I'll shed my love abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit so you can do that. And then you can love people that actually mistreat you.
Amen.
Christians that get disillusioned in the church, I'll just say it this way. Christians that get disillusioned with the church and with other Christians and then leave, they have just short-circuited this process. Because this is actually one mean, and I wish it wasn't so, but it is. This is one mean that God uses to grow us into the image of his Son. When we're mistreated, when we're not appreciated, when people do us wrong, either maliciously and knowingly or sometimes accidentally. Sometimes I get my toes stepped on. It's by accident. They didn't mean it. You know, but it still hurts. But people that say, forget it, I'm out of here. If that's the way Christians are going to be, I'm out of here. That person has just, again, I'm not saying they can't go to heaven, okay? Jesus and Jesus alone gives us eternal life. But if you cut yourself off from his people, then you're gonna short-circuit your maturity. You're going to short-circuit God wants to grow you up into the fullness of God in Christ. He wants to fill you with the fullness of God. He wants to fill all of us. But if you cut yourself off, you're going to really hurt. We'll hurt that process every time. Last scripture, and I'll end with this. Romans chapter 12. It says, verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor or hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant, in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Always be a little bit suspicious of your perspective. Okay? There's a healthy way to be suspicious of your own perspective. None of us have 20/20 vision on every single thing in life. God and God alone has that. So be appropriately humble and suspicious of your own perspective and wisdom. Okay? Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. So here's the thing. There are some times we can't live peaceably with others because, you know, the saying, it takes two to tango. You know what I mean? To be reconciled, it takes two parties to not only, like, repent and forgive and try to... It takes two parties to do that. But I can make sure on my end, I've done everything I can to be at peace with somebody else. Okay? I'm not responsible for the other person. I'm fully and only responsible for me. Truth be told, it's that guy that gives me the hardest time anyway, to be honest with you. Me, my flesh, right? That's the one I'm responsible for. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. I'm almost done. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. And it ends with this verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, back to Paul's prayer. He prays that we might be strengthened so that we can comprehend that which is incomprehensible. And that is the love of God that has for us. And as that happens in our life in an ongoing way, we will, the end of this says, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. We will be mature. We will be Christ-like. Again, this is a prayer that will never get fully answered in this side of glory, but it's something that we should all aspire to and want in our lives and want for one another. Again, this is a prayer we could pray for ourselves and pray for those around us. Amen? So, Father, we do thank you. Matt, can you come on up? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to read this one more time, and then I just want you to just respond to the Lord and make Paul's prayer for the Ephesians your prayer. Both for yourself and for people around you. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, Father, I just pray that for ourselves right now. Lord, that we would have a growing understanding and awareness. Give us the strength to be able to, like, understand the love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, let it do everything you intend for it to do. Help us to be secure. Help us to be generous. Help us to be able to forgive freely. Help us to serve you with vim and vigor and energy. All the stuff in life is because we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. Lord, I pray that, and I pray that prayer to be answered in an ongoing way. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Amen.